I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, or whether you're a physical Bible or an app on your phone, you can go to the book of Luke chapter 2, and I'll read into your hearing verses 10 and 11 from the New King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" Somebody say, "Great joy." "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Somebody say, "To all people." So this joy that God wants us to experience is not just for some people, but it's for
all people.
So you just got to get your joy. It's for you. Amen? And you got to know that no matter what comes in your life, you got to always try to hold on to you, because God wants you to have it. Amen. He says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Amen. Well, you may be seated. This is going to, first let me begin by saying a very special thanks to the ministers who have preached some powerful, inspirational, and hopeful messages this past month. So I just want to say thanks to Minister Adrian Daniel, Minister Wayne Thomas, Minister Will Gottlieb, and Minister Keisha Thomas. Amen? So again, I say thank you from the depths of my heart. You know, now as we transition from the Thanksgiving season, where the primary focus was on thankfulness, we now enter into the Christmas season, where the main emphasis is centered around joy. Somebody say joy. Joy, joy, primarily the joy that we feel and express as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for the next several weeks, I just want to talk to you from the thought of persistent joy. Persistent joy. And I want to take a look at a holistic look at joy, in an attempt to get us to see that joy, the joy of the Lord, and the joy that God wants us to experience or to have, is not just seasonal, but a joy that we must strive to maintain and experience in all season, in all situations, in all struggles that we may experience in life. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
See, joy is a state of delight and well-being from knowing, from trusting, and from serving God. It's a feeling of great pleasure. Oftentimes, we say the word rejoice in many of the passages in the Bible. And not in the Bible, there are a number of Hebrew and Greek words that are used to convey the idea of joy and rejoicing. The English words joy and rejoicing are most often used to translate the Hebrew word simha and the Greek word chara. So the word joy, or some variation of the word, joyful, joyous, rejoice, cheerful, appears in the Bible over 400 times. See, God himself knows joy, and he wants his people to know and experience joy. It's important to understand that joy does not mean the absence of sorrow or pain. However, we have to trust God even in the darkest sorrows of life and the pains that come in life, that at some point in time, joy will come again. In other words, the pain and the suffering and the struggles one day will be relieved, and we will experience the joy that the Lord gives again. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night. So it don't downplay that will be some time of weeping in your life. But he gives us the promise that joy comes in the morning. So no matter where you find yourself in life, you got to be on the lookout and expecting that joy is coming. So in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in spite of what you may be going through, I want to encourage you to persist in your joy. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, from the New King James Version, David lets us know that joy comes from being in God's presence and knowing that God is with us as we face the ups and downs of life. See, joy is far deeper than just happiness. We can feel joy in spite of our deepest troubles. See, happiness is temporary because it is usually based on some external circumstance. But joy is lasting because it is based upon God's presence within you. In order for you to truly experience the joy that God wants you to have, you're going to have something working on the absence of that working on the inside of you, then you will find yourself in a state of hopelessness. So you got to believe that God wants us to rejoice, and that sometime we just got to understand that we have to get in his presence, because within us is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And that Holy Spirit is designed to be there to help us to have the joy that God wants us to have. And I'm going to show you that it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. But this is what David said. He says, now look, I have set the Lord always before me. In other words, David, when he wrote these things, he was talking about these things, his life wasn't in a great space. I mean, it wasn't a time of, you know, everything going okay. He said, but even in the midst of what I'm going through, I got the Lord set before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Troubles come, things come, but whatever come, because he is at my right hand, I'm going to do all I can to believe that he's going to bring me through it. And because of that, I can look forward to experiencing the joy that he wants me to have. And so when he says, therefore, my heart is glad. See, when we lose that sense of joy in our life, our heart no longer is glad. And so sometimes you have to struggle and you have to fight to keep your heart in a state of gladness, even though you may be going through something. And I know it's difficult, but what I want you to understand is that God still has placed that spirit on the inside of you so that he can help you through those times. Therefore, he said, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. In other words, not as just a physical thing, but this is also a spiritual thing. My body and my soul rejoice because my heart is glad. He says, my flesh also will rest upon this hope. In other words, when I lay down and go to sleep, I'm going to rest in the hope that God got me. And that there is going to be a resurrection one day, and I'm going to get up. So whenever I lay down, I'm going to lay down in hope, because I got an expectation that God cares about me. He says, now look, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Many believe that David was talking prophetically there about Jesus. But even in that, the promise that was made to us, because we are in him, he rose from the dead, one day we're going to rise. And so therefore, that's an expectation now that we have. And in that expectation, we ought to experience some joy on this side, because we got this expectation that one day after this life is over, we're going to rise again. He said, now look, you will show me the path of life in your, somebody say presence. He said, in your presence is the fullness of joy. When I can get where you are in your presence, I can experience the fullness of joy. Well, you get that through the Spirit. When you come and you worship, whether you're in this house, you got a sense in your spirit that you're in God's. And in his presence is supposed to be complete joy. The fullness of joy. Yeah, your tears may be coming, but they ought to be turning to tears of, because you're in his. He says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for forevermore. When we get in God's presence, he expects us to have joy. And David understood this when he wrote his Psalm 51, his Psalm of Repentance, when he had fell out of favor with God. The thing that he wanted the most to get back was, Brother Wilson, was his joy. He wanted to get in God's presence. Because he knew that, you know, what he had done had caused him to be at a distance and at a place of separation from God. And so when he cried out to God in Psalm 51, he said these words, do not cast me away from your presence. God, whatever you do, don't cast me away from your presence. He says, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't do me like you did Saul. Even though I've done some things wrong, God, I want to repent and say I'm sorry so that I can get back into your presence and I can experience the joy of. Amen. Look at it. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, the way you deliver, the way you rescue, the way you save, the way you set me free. Restore that joy to me and uphold me by your generous spirit. In other words, support me by your spirit. It's important for us to realize that our joy is connected to the spirit that's on the inside of us. See, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you know this. He says, joy is produced by having the Holy Spirit at work in your life. See, the fruit of the spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit in us. And he says, the Holy Spirit provides these character traits that are found in Christ. So we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us to stay connected to Jesus, who is the true vine. Because the more we know about Jesus, the more we love Jesus, the more we remember Jesus, and the more we imitate Jesus, we enhance the Holy Spirit's ability to produce joy and all the other fruits of the Spirit in our lives. In other words, fruit has to be cultivated, and it takes time to grow. So these things that God wants to have in your life, they're not going to come overnight. But over a period of time with you doing what God say do, and you knowing who Jesus is, you ought to start producing some of these things in your life, because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in you. We just have to move out of the way and let him do what he is designed to do. Look at this. It says this in verse 11. Verse 22. He says, but the Holy Spirit, somebody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Then he lists them. I'm not going to go through all of them, because the button there let me know he was contrasting the fruit that are the things that is produced by the flesh, the works of the flesh, and he was contrasting them with the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm not going to spend time on the negative side, because that'll mess up my joy message. I ain't going to talk about that side right now. Y'all can go back and read about the other side later. I want to talk about what the Spirit is supposed to produce. Amen? Because this is a time for joy. Amen? And so he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Right behind love is, you know, if there's a pecking order, Brother Wilson, God is love. So I see love being up there very high, number one. But right behind love is joy. You know, it may be hard to get to your peace if you ain't got no. You know, and it may be hard to get to any of this if you don't start off with a little bit of. You got to have your heart right, Brother Wilson. You got to truly love people. You got to love God. And you got to allow the Holy Spirit to produce this type of love in your life. But that ain't my topic right now. I'm talking about, he says, the fruit in our lives is love, joy. Somebody say joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then he said, look, when you allow the Spirit to produce those things in your life, there is no law against these things. You will find nowhere in the Bible where the Lord would tell you to stop producing joy. Don't have your no joy no more. Just give your joy away. Faith, y'all used to sing a song, I got my joy back. I got my swag back. Y'all used to sing that song, did you? We used to tear that up in here. I got my. Every now and then you got to tell yourself, I got to get my. Because the devil will come and try to rob you of that fruit. And you got to fight and say, I got to get my joy back. God want me to have joy. It's something that he wants to produce in my life. And it's up to me to allow the Spirit to work through me so that I can have mine. Man, I think all these fruits work together, but they're not my subject today. I just want to talk about joy. Joy here, talk about that calm delight, that gladness, that cheerfulness. It's that inner rejoicing that abides in us despite of our outward circumstances. Has little to do with happiness, because this level of joy can even show up in your life when you're unhappy. Hey, how can that? It'll show up in your heart. It'll show up in your life. Even though you may be unhappy about something, the level of joy that God wants you to have can exist in you when you think you're unhappy. Somebody say joy. In Psalms 98, 1 through 6, joy grows out of genuine praise and worship. Y'all got to get this. Joy grows. Your joy grows when you learn how to praise and worship God. I don't care how we try to dance around it. Praise, when it's done joyfully, can't be done in quietness. I mean, you can't come to church and look like and sit like the knot on the log. If you got life, health, and strength, and you can breathe, then you got the capacity to produce some. Y'all need to say amen. I'm going somewhere. This is a test. You better be paying attention, because there's going to come a time when I'm going to call upon your joy. And I don't want you to sit here like a knot on a. Y'all follow me so far? Look, he says, joy grows out of genuine praise and worship. Worship, the worship of God involves humble adoration, reflective meditation, confession, and celebration. Somebody say celebration. Celebration. Somebody say celebration again. Celebration. When is the last time you went to a dead celebration? I mean, just the word celebration rings with some kind of movement, some type of. Did any of y'all watch the football games yesterday? You can tell who had joy at the end of the game based upon the seller. Amen. And so what I'm getting at is that if celebration is a part of worship, then when we come to worship God, we ought to be prepared to do a little bit of celebrate. See, God did not intend for worship to be only meditation and introspection. In other words, where you just sit here and examine your own self with your mind and your feelings. God expects you to put those things aside so that you can join in celebrating him and joyfully worshiping him. See, we should joyfully celebrate God for who he is and what he has done for his people. When God gave Moses instruction in Leviticus, he appointed many festivals. These days were all set so that the nation would be summoned together to offer joyful worship to the Lord. In this psalm, the writer exhorts all the earth to joyfully sing and praise the Lord who reigns. because he had done marvelous things in saving Israel by his power and by revealing his righteousness in the sight of all the nation. So that's why this psalm starts off in Psalms 98, 1 through 6. It says, Finley, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Exclamation. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Why he say that? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. See, these people were recording their experiences with God. And every time he did something for them, they were to record it and write a new song. So say they were no longer singing about what he did in Egypt. They were no longer singing about how he parted the Red Sea. They were no longer singing about how Joshua conquered the land. They were no longer singing about all the things that happened. They were singing a new song and saying, what has God done for you lately? And when you think about what God has done for you lately, you're supposed to put that to pen and paper and start writing about it and let the world know what God has done. That's your new song. All of you sitting under the sound of my voice ought to have something where you can look back and say, God has done some things in my life here lately, and I just want to write a song about it. I just want to sing to him about it. I just want to thank him for doing something new in my life. And if all you can say is, God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. It's a new day. That's a new song. Make this day better than yesterday, God. So what I'm trying to tell you, as I'm sitting up here and preaching to you and teaching you something today, I want your mind to be thinking of your new. If you had to write a song right now, what would you write down as a praise and a worship to God to give him thanks for what he has done in your life? What is your new song? Your old song may not be working no more. It's time out for you just singing about what he did 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Now you need to say, what has he done for me? We have a tendency to forget about what he's done years ago. So let's start talking about what he did for you. Yes. What did he do for you this morning? You know, most of us now, we don't even need an alarm clock to wake up. You know, my body is tuned to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, no matter what time I go to bed. 5 o'clock, that's my first turn. It's up to me to get out the bed, but that's a 5 o'clock wake-up call. And that didn't come from the rooster. That didn't come from the clock. That wake-up call came from the Lord. So just by virtue of I answered the call this morning, I got something to write about. I got a new song. So he says, oh, sing. Now, I'm not going to ask all y'all to sing y'all new song because I know, you know, all y'all can't sing. But you can all make a joyful to make noise. You don't have to be in tune with nobody. You just need to make some. So when I call on you to make some noise, don't let your inability to carry a note hinder you from opening your mouth. Amen. I'm not asking you to, you know, sing in harmony with the choir. I'm just asking you to keep up some. You know, when your team won yesterday, they didn't ask you to get in tune. Let's wait till we all get the same note. You know, when Georgia came back on them boys, some of those folks from Georgia, they just started making some noise. I mean, they just started making some noise. They didn't care what everybody else sounded like. They just made some noise. Why? Because they was glad that things had come out in their favor. And so what I'm trying to tell you, if Georgia can get your noise, if Alabama can get your noise, surely the one who created you can get a little noise out of you. Amen. Amen. Can get a little thanks out of you. To get a little reverence and respect. Get more than a mental drill in you, but to get your voice to come in agreement with what's on the inside. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. We just celebrate victory. That's what everybody was doing last night who won. They were just celebrating. And every now and then we ought to just celebrate the victories that God has given us in our lives. He says, the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nation. When God was delivering Israel, he wasn't delivering them in a basket. The nations around them saw what he was doing when they came out of Egypt. When Jericho, when Joshua went into Jericho and they started conquering the promised land, the nations were seeing what God was doing in these people's lives. And because of that, he was making a witness to them that they had the true and living God. And if we know we have the true and living God, and when God opened doors and God do things for us, we're supposed to give him the praise. We're supposed to worship him through our praise and our expression to let him know just how good he has. We got to do that in the sight of the nation. Well, we got to start right here. We got to do it right here in the sight of some folks who just think that it don't take all that. But I got news for you today. We came just to have a little bit of joy. Just a little bit of joy. Because he says he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. He kept his promises. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. They have seen how God can deliver his people. Then he says, what is verse 4, the first word? Y'all read like y'all ain't scared to say it. You know, I had to look that up in the Hebrew, Adrian, because I wanted to make sure that I was on point. Because, you know, sometimes we act like shout don't mean shout. You know, in the Hebrew, that means to burst forth with loud noise. Finley, that means just burst forth with. You know, the world say we loud anyway. We just need to get loud for the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's in our DNA. They said, we know how to keep up noise. We just keep it up for the wrong thing. So now I'm trying to get all of you all who are sitting here on, you know, the first Sunday in December to read this with me and say, shout joyfully. And I would say, what does that mean to you when he says sing a new song? Then now he said, you got to shout joyfully to the Lord. What does a joyful shout sound like to you? So what does a joyful shout sound like? You know what I mean? And you know, he didn't describe it. He just said, do it. So I got a feeling because all our voices got different ranges, it will sound different coming from all of us. Amen. You know, some shouts may be joyful, but it may be deep. Some shouts may be high, like Sister Robin when she was saying, hey, way up there. Shout may be like that. But he didn't say be in tune. He just said shout joyfully. Shout. Yeah, shout. Somebody say shout. Shout joyfully. Amen. So when we shout, we ought to have joy. We ought to express a true feeling, how we feel about God for what he has done for us. We got to learn how to just say shout. Somebody shout, shout with me. Shout. Shout, shout again. Shout. Man, y'all sound good. And y'all ain't said but one word. Shout. And it was in all different keys. You know, there was some loud shouts over here. Somebody here got a deep voice. They can get it up there. And then there was some subtle shouts over here. But I heard you, but you ain't you didn't exhaust the capacity of your lungs in that shout. You just went shout. Shout. You didn't get it all out. So we're gonna take a moment to let y'all get it all out. It's all right. So take a deep breath. Take a deep breath with me. Because we're gonna do this shouting drill, because he said, shout. And I need to hear the joyful. Take a deep breath. Okay. Now let's shout joyfully. Say the word, shout! Ooh, that sounds different right there. That, you know, that carries, you know, that thing carries a little bit. You know, the difference between that carrying. In music, they got a name for it. I don't know what it is for everyone. You carry a note, some note, what you call it? Sustain, yeah. Sustain your note. I want y'all to sustain that shout this time. You know, let all the air go out before you stop shouting. Sustain that shout. I'm teaching y'all something here today because we're trying to get heaven to hear us today. So let's go one more time. The word shout. Take a deep breath and shout! Yeah. Y'all see the difference in that, don't you? So now he said, Shout joyfully. See, we learned some music stuff today. Now we can go leave out here and say, you know, I can sustain a note. You know, so what note you sang in, honey? I sang in A flat. Okay, let me hear. You can take a deep breath and you just sustain. He says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of a song. In other words, a musical piece that is accompanied by different types of instruments. So he says, with the trumpet, with the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Good God Almighty. David was encouraging him that this worship involves more than just meditation, introspection. It involves celebration. We got to learn how to shout joyfully before the Lord, because he is the King and he is our Lord. Let me close with Psalm 95. This is where y'all get involved. Praise team, y'all get ready. All y'all done had the practice run. That shout, I told you we were going somewhere with this. That shout, so I know y'all can do it now. See, y'all done showed me that y'all can sustain a note and y'all can shout. You all have been put on notice that now's the time for you to demonstrate what you've been taught. You know, every now and then in Pee Wee, when I was the instructor, we had a lesson that was called demonstration and performance. The kid, you showed the kids how to do it, and then they demonstrated to them, and then they have to in turn perform what you showed them. We showed you how to joyfully shout. Now it's time for you to perform with joy. Y'all ready? Look what he says in Psalms 95. I'm going to just read this real quick, and the praise team will come and help us do this and close this thing right. He says, now look, by closing here, I want you to see that it looks like the psalmist encouraged communal praise of God. It's okay to praise God individually, but it's also important to understand that God wants us to praise him as a community. That's why I asked all of you all to shout, because right now I want the community involved as we close this. Not the individual. I want the community all in unison enjoying what God has called us to do. He says this, oh come, somebody said, let us. See, that excludes any of y'all thinking, you know, he ain't talking to you. Us, the community, all of us is in here. The community. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let us, somebody say us, shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanks. Let us shout joyfully to him in song. For the Lord is great and the great King of all gods. So now let us stand. If you're able to. And let us join in the praise team. And I'm going to come down on the floor because they got the show, because I'll mess up the song. I'm going to be making a joyful noise. But I'm going to probably be out of key. But that's okay. I'm not auditioning for y'all today. This is just a joyful noise to the Lord. It's okay if we close right here.